to Ave Maria Radio know him and have been fed by him. We all now have a special opportunity. Father Ricardo is starting an RCA class for Catholics. It will begin at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, September 19th at Our Lady of Good Counsel Church in Plymouth, Michigan. If you'd like to strengthen your catechetical chops and draw closer to our Lord and His Church, here's a wonderful opportunity. It's an RCAA class for those of us who are already Catholic, taught by Father John Ricardo. Again, it begins at 7 o'clock Wednesday, September 19th at Our Lady of Good Counsel Church in Plymouth. Take the Beck Road exit from M14 South, one block. Turn right. It's the first drive on your right. Won't you join us beginning next Wednesday at 7 o'clock at Our Lady of Good Counsel Church? This announcement is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Selections from the Little Flowers of St. Francis of Assisi. How the Holy Brother Bernard of Assisi was sent by St. Francis to Bologna, and how he founded a convent there. St. Francis and his companions, being called by God to carry the cross of Christ in their hearts, to practice it in their lives, and to preach it by their words, were truly crucified men, both in their actions and in their works. They sought after shame and contempt, out of love for Christ, rather than the honors of the world, the respect and praise of men. They rejoiced to be despised, and were grieved when honored. Thus they went about the world as pilgrims and strangers, carrying nothing with them but Christ crucified. And because they were of the true vine, which is Christ, they produced great and good fruits in many souls, which they gained to God. It happened that, in the beginning of the order, St. Francis sent Brother Bernard to Bologna, there to accomplish many good works according to the grace which God had given him. So Brother Bernard, making the holy sign of the cross, in the name of holy obedience, set out for Bologna. But when he arrived in that city, the little children in the streets, seeing him dressed so strangely and so poorly, laughed and scoffed at him, taking him for a madman. All these trials Brother Bernard accepted for the love of Christ, with great patience and with great joy. And seeking to be despised yet more, he went to the marketplace, where, having seated himself, a great number of children and men gathered round him, and taking hold of his hood, pushed him here and there, some throwing stones at him, and others dust. To all this Brother Bernard submitted in silence, his countenance bearing an expression of holy joy, and for several days he returned to the same spot, to receive the same insults. Now patience being a work of perfection and a proof of virtue, a learned doctor of the law, seeing such virtue and constancy in Brother Bernard, who had endured for so many days such contempt and such injuries without losing his temper, said within himself, "Without doubt this man must be a great saint." And going up to him, he asked him who he was and whence he came. Brother Bernard put his hand into his bosom, and taking out the rule of St. Francis, gave it to him to read. The doctor, having read the rule, was struck with wonder and admiration at the sublime perfection therein prescribed. And turning to his friends, he said, "Truly, this is the most perfect state of religion I have ever heard of, and this man and his companions are the holiest men I have met with in all the world. Guilty indeed are those who insult him. We ought, on the contrary, to honor him as a true friend of God." And addressing Brother Bernard, he said to him, "If it is thy wish to found a convent in this town, in which thou mayest serve God according to thy heart's desires, I will help thee most willingly, for the salvation of my soul." Brother Bernard answered, "I believe that our Savior Jesus Christ has inspired thee with this good intention, and most willingly do I accept thy offer to the honor of Christ." Then the doctor, with much joy and great charity, conducted Brother Bernard to his house, and soon after gave to him a place as he had promised, which he arranged and furnished at his own expense. And from that moment he became a father to Brother Bernard, and the special defender of the friars minor. Brother Bernard, through his holy conduct, began to be much honored by the people, so much so that those who could see and touch him accounted themselves as most blessed. But he, like a true disciple of Christ, and a son of the humble Francis, fearing lest the honors of the world should disturb his peace and endanger the salvation of his soul, set out one day and returned to St. Francis, whom he thus addressed. "Father, the convent is founded at Bologna. Send other brothers there to keep it up and reside there, as I can no longer be of any use. Indeed, I fear that the two great honors I receive might make me lose more than I could gain." Now St. Francis, having heard one after another all the things which the Lord had wrought through Brother Bernard, rendered thanks to God, who thus began to spread abroad the poor disciples of the cross. How St. Francis, when about to die, blessed the holy Brother Bernard, naming him Vicar of the Order. The holiness of Brother Bernard shone forth so brightly that St. Francis held him in great reverence, and often was heard to praise him. One day, as St. Francis was in prayer, it was revealed to him by God that Brother Bernard, by divine permission, would sustain many painful combats with the devil. Now St. Francis felt great compassion for Brother Bernard, whom he loved as a son. Wherefore, he wept and prayed for many days, imploring the Lord Jesus Christ to give him the victory over the evil one. As he was praying thus devoutly, the Lord answered his prayer and said to him, "Fear not, Francis, for all the temptations which will assail Brother Bernard are permitted by God to increase his virtue and win for him a crown of merit. For at length he will gain the victory over all his enemies, because he is one of the ministers of the kingdom of heaven." This answer to prayer filled St. Francis with joy. He thanked God, and from that moment Brother Bernard became even dearer to St. Francis than before, and many proofs of affection did he give him, not only during his life, but more especially at the hour of his death. For when St. Francis was about to leave this world, being surrounded like the holy prophet Jacob by his devoted sons, all grieving at the departure of so beloved a father, he thus addressed them, "Where is my firstborn son? Let him come to me, that my soul may bless him before I die." Then Brother Bernard said in a whisper to Brother Elias, who at that time was vicar of the order, "Go to the right hand of the saint, that he may bless thee." On this, Brother Elias placed himself on the right side of St. Francis, who had lost his sight through much weeping. And the saint, putting his right hand on the hand of Brother Elias, said, "This is not the head of my firstborn son, Brother Bernard." Then Brother Bernard placed himself on the left side of St. Francis, who, crossing his arms in the form of a cross, put his right hand on the head of Brother Bernard, and his left on that of Brother Elias. Then said he to Brother Bernard, "May God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee with every blessing, spiritual and celestial, for thou art my firstborn son in God, chosen in this order to set an example of every virtue, and to follow Christ in evangelical poverty. For not only didst thou give all thy possessions and distribute them freely and liberally to the poor, but thou didst likewise offer thyself to God in this order as a sacrifice of love. Blessed be thou then by our Savior Jesus Christ, and by me, his poor servant, with eternal blessings, when thou goest out and when thou comest in, when thou wakest and when thou sleepest, both living and dying. He that blesseth thee shall be blessed. He that curseth thee shall not remain unpunished. Thou shalt be at the head of all thy brethren, and all thy commands the brethren shall obey. I give thee power to receive into this order whomsoever thou willest. No brother shall rule over thee. Thou art free to go where thou wilt, and to remain where it pleaseth thee best." So, after the death of St. Francis, the brethren loved and revered Brother Bernard as their father. How St. Francis passed the time of Lent on an island on the Lake of Perugia, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, eating no more than half of one loaf. The true servant of Christ, St. Francis, was in certain things like unto a second Christ given to the world for the salvation of souls. Wherefore God the Father willed that in many points he should be conformed to his Son, Jesus Christ, as in the mystery of the Holy Stigmata, and in a fast of 40 days, which he made in the manner following. St. Francis, one day of the carnival, was near the Lake of Perugia, in the house of one of his devout children, with whom he had spent the night, when he was inspired by God to go and pass the time of Lent in an island on the lake. Wherefore St. Francis begged his friend, for the love of God, to convey him in his boat to an island uninhabited by man, the which he should do during the night of Ash Wednesday, so that none might know where he was. And the friend, because of the great devotion he bore to St. Francis, agreed to his request, and conveyed him to the said island, St. Francis taking with him naught but 2 small loaves. When they had reached the island, his friend left him and returned home, the saint earnestly entreating him to reveal to no one where he was, and not to come and fetch him before Holy Thursday, to which he consented. St. Francis, being left alone, and there being no dwelling in the island in which he could take shelter, entered into a thick part of the wood, all overgrown with brambles and other creeping plants, and forming, as it were, a kind of hut, there he began to pray and enter into the contemplation of divine things. And there he passed the whole of Lent without drinking or eating, save half of one of the small loaves he had taken with him, as we learned from his friend, who, going to fetch him on Holy Thursday, found one of the loaves untouched, and the other only half consumed. It is believed that St. Francis ate this half out of reverence for our blessed Lord, who fasted 40 days and 40 nights without taking any material food. For by eating this bit of bread, he put aside the temptation to vainglory, and yet fasted 40 days and 40 nights in imitation of the Savior. In later times, God worked many miracles through the merits of the saint on the spot where St. Francis had fasted so wonderfully, on which account people began to build houses and dwell there, and little by little a town rose up, with a convent called the Convent of the Isle. This has been taken from The Little Flowers of St. Francis of Assisi, translated by Lady Georgina Fullerton, and revised and amended by Dom Roger Huddleston. This work is available on the Internet through the Christian Classics Ethereal Library at www.ccel.org. This work is in the public domain.
This has been Christian Classics with Teresa Hofer. Listen every Monday through Friday at this time as Teresa continues her great readings and selections from classic Christian literature. Right here on the Ave Maria Radio Network. News and talk for Catholic and other Christians.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild calendar is brought to you by Parish Publishing Solutions. All men are invited to Bravehearts Monthly Men's Breakfast Saturday, September 15th at St. Joseph Church in Lake Orion. This month's guest speaker will be WDEO's own Dr. Ray Guarendi, who will speak on fatherhood. Be a man. For more information, call 248-693-0440. Married couples should not miss the Worldwide Marriage Encounter September 14th through the 16th at the St. John Center in Plymouth. This weekend will focus on your marriage and help you build necessary communication skills. To reserve your place, call 248-528-2512. You can find many more events at our website, amcguild.org. Parish Publishing has been fulfilling church bulletin needs for over 70 years. Give them a call at 1-800-521-4486.
Do you really love Catholic radio? You want to make it last? Here's what you do. Tune in during the last week in September. That's the last week in September, not the first. not the second, the last, and make a financial pledge of support for Ave Maria.